Hey, welcome to Learning and Innovation, the podcast for the educational community by the educational community. Hope you enjoy it. Okay, hi, welcome. This is Cole Camp Police coming to you from New Orleans, if you can believe it, January 23rd, 2005. Kicking a little podcast to you. Not really sure what we're calling this. Posting this on my Learning and Innovation blog. You can find that at camppolicegroup.com/blog. You can subscribe to the RSS feed there and get this thing delivered to you. This is actually the first from the Learning and Innovation series. Typically, I podcast from the basement, but now I am in New Orleans at the NLII conference. Some interesting things going on today. It was a big travel day for me getting in, not really doing a whole hell of a lot. I got in this afternoon, checked into the hotel, the Intercontinental here in New Orleans. Nice hotel, not too fancy, but not too shabby. Didn't see anybody from the Apple Digital Campus Project, the people that I'm down here doing a presentation with, but that doesn't mean that they're not here. As a matter of fact, I checked out the fact that there were a couple of us registered, I know that much. Susan was here. I saw her when I was checking in from Ohio State University, and I got to hear a couple of the first podcasts from the Mojo people, the Missouri School of Journalism, and man, they sound great. I got to tell you, they sound really cool. But, you know, the really exciting thing for me is that I cut together, when I first got here, I cut together a quick little promo, I guess. I don't know what else you'd call it, a quick little promo that I sent off to Adam Curry of Daily Source Code fame. And I said, hey, Adam, you know, here's the deal. We're running these podcast things down in New Orleans at the NLII. I think it's probably a first in the higher education space, something that really hasn't been done before. And gave him all the details, told him what it was all about. I included a clip of the original promo that the Mojo people put together. And he wrote me back, and he said, hey, this is great. This is really cool stuff. And I'm definitely going to push this on the source code, which is kind of cool. So I would imagine tomorrow on the January 24th edition of the Daily Source Code, there will be some sort of a little bit of a push for the, you know, the NLII podcasting, which is really kind of cool. Other than that, looking forward to some good stuff. Looks like there's actually a couple of sessions on blogging, blogging in education, community building, some of the things that I'm really interested in right now. So that's kind of an interesting thing. It'll be cool to sort of hear what other people have to say. I met a guy in the elevator. It was kind of funny. He gave me his, let me see if I can find it here, his playing card. He's from the University of Central Florida. His name is Bill Phillips. Seemed like a really nice guy, but he had like a baseball card. Said Baby Boomers on the top, Bill Phillips, University of Central Florida. And it has like his stats on the back and what he's into and I guess what they're up to, and a URL, and it's generations.cdws.ucf.edu. I'll have to check it out. I haven't done that yet, but that's a kind of a cool thing. You know, you work in higher ed, and you get sort of get this thing where you don't think anybody's doing anything interesting or anything different because it's sort of like business as usual in higher education a lot of times. But you run into guys like Bill, and, you know, here's a guy who his age, it says on the back, is 53, generation baby boomer, you know, and looks like he's pushing the envelope and doing some different things, which is kind of cool. Not really sure what to expect of the conference in general. I think it's going to be a good experience, and, you know, I'll be podcasting here and there from the whole thing. I have, a mobile setup that I have my iPod and I guess it's called iTalk, and then like a lapel mic that I'm going to be, you know, busting out here and there and talking to people. I hope, you know, if I can get the time and if I feel like really geeking out and looking like a real sort of a whack job, I'll do that. But otherwise, you guys, you really got to check out the EDUCAUSE blogs. And while I got you here, I'll pull those up because I'll tell you what, so far I've heard two clips already, two of the podcasts coming down from the people from Mojo, and they are just unbelievable. I got to tell you the truth, that I'm really, really impressed with them. Let me see here. Let's pull those up. The EDUCAUSE community blogs. What's the URL for those? Pretty straightforward, I think. Yeah, it's just blog.educause.edu. But man, what a difference real talent makes. I'll tell you, because you know, I have none of it, but at the same time, these guys really, really do a kick-ass job. And if I was smart before I sat down here and did this, I would have actually set it up so that you could listen to this. And you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe I can play that in the middle here. Let's see if I can do that. Let's see. But this is just dynamite. Let me see if this actually works. So I'm going to go quiet for a second. I'm going to play this, and hopefully you guys can actually listen to this. Let's see here. See how this would actually have to work. Go ahead and play this. Okay, so this is the conference preview.
Hello, I'm Sarah Ashworth.
And I'm Kyle Palmer. We're from the Missouri School of Journalism and leading this podcast experiment along with Apple Computers and Penn State University.
For the next few days, we're going to be bringing you stories from the National Learning Infrastructure Initiative, or NLII, conference here in New Orleans.
You'll hear from educators, students, and technology experts. We'll be talking about how technology affects you in the classroom, how you can better connect to each other, and how we can all embrace new technology and perhaps change teaching techniques.
If you preach to people about how you can use technology to improve learning, you might ought to do it yourself.
That's Diana Oblinger. She's Vice President of EDUCAUSE and a former professor at North Carolina State. Her academic career began in plant sciences, a field she admits has little to do with information technology. But throughout the years, she has become passionate about technology and how it could help her teach.
I think technology allows us to change our teaching practice in a number of ways, and where I would put the emphasis is not on the technology per se, but on the change in practice. Because many times the technology can be terribly simple, like an audio file. But it's the way you put that into practice with learners that can make all the difference in the world.
Carl Berger, a member of EDUCAUSE, has been trying to make that type of difference as a teacher for the past 46 years. He retired from the University of Michigan last year when he began teaching at the junior high level in the early 1960s. Overhead projectors were considered cutting-edge classroom technology.
In those days, just as it is now, new technology is tough for people to adopt. And we tried many, many brilliant things with overhead projectors, such as taking our yellowed notes and turning them into yellowed transparencies. It is so easy to use the new technology and get excited about the technology, but still, unfortunately, turn it into the same old teaching techniques.
Berger says technology forced him to adapt both in and out of the classroom. For instance, with the advent of email, Berger found his inbox stuffed with student questions. He solved this problem by creating a threaded discussion, and then realized other professors were having the same struggle.
That was the first time, for example, that I began to realize that we needed to do something institutionally. Not only for me as a faculty member who was a technology grunt, but also for the faculty out there that were also starting to get these email messages but didn't have the idea of having a threaded discussion to come and help.
Classroom technology has now moved well beyond email, giving educators a dizzying array of options. Oblinger says it has allowed students to express themselves more creatively in class with multimedia projects that were impossible to put together even 5 years ago. She says the more technology she used in the classroom, the more students became engaged.
You gave them power over their own environment to manipulate things and do things very, very differently, providing control to people in a very different way.
That sense of control breeds a culture of immediacy, where students expect to get sports scores on their cell phones, have class discussions from a laptop in their dorms, and hear Wednesday morning's lecture whenever they want.
Maybe part of our idea as educators to work with students to realize that some things really do have delayed gratification, that in fact you have to build that patience and work with tools that allow you to do that technologically, so students begin to see those kinds of things.
In the end, Oblinger says technology can enhance a teacher's lesson but should not replace the teacher entirely, because no matter how much technology there is, Oblinger says students still expect one-on-one interaction with a teacher.
They want someone who cares about them. There are lots of ways we can use technology to do that, but it's not the technology that is important. It's that value and it's the activity that seem to be much more important.
It's a question of balance that this conference may be able to help answer, or at least keep the conversation going.
So enjoy New Orleans and the conference, and look for us to help inspire that conversation. We're the ones with the microphones. I'm Kyle Palmer.
And I'm Sarah Ashworth.
So that's a little promo that our buddies Mike McKeon and the folks at Mojo put together. And I'll tell you what, it's just great to hear that people are doing this shit for real. I mean, it just makes me so happy to know that, the whole podcasting thing has taken off in education. And I got to tell you, I'm more energized than ever to get back to the office, back to Penn State and the Solutions Institute, and put together the real podcast. You know, I run my own, sort of goofy Wednesday night bowling league style podcast with some of my friends from SI and elsewhere, and we get on iChat and we talk to Brian Smith, professor at the university, and we talk to KP, my friend out in Oregon, and it's more just goofy, but every now and then we actually break into real topics. But what we have planned for the SI podcast is something that's actually real, and I just want to say that I'm honored to be a part of this whole NLII podcasting thing, and it has me refreshed and recharged around the whole idea. And I got to tell you, I've been saying it for a while, but I really got to believe that there's something here. There's something really, really big here. And my vision for this is at the Solutions Institute would be great to have like a room. We have two really beautiful labs, and it'd be great one of them to be able to set up with audio, video equipment, and let faculty, professors, teaching assistants, grad students come in and just put together really quick sound bites and really good quality podcasts. It would just really be kick-ass. It would make me really feel good. And to be able to see how it would actually get out to the students and to start seeing students subscribe to RSS feeds of content that comes in from their professors, I mean, how much better does it get than that? I mean, that's when it starts to make sense, when faculty can, make announcements in the standard text sense, but also produce a quick, real, concise, hard-hitting audio clips that challenge kids to, think and then go online and respond and maybe even do their own podcast and kick them back and have faculty being subscribing via, a blog lines kind of application to the feeds coming back to them. Maybe they're just text-based with blogs, but maybe they're also with enclosures. I don't know. But anyway, we're going to see how it goes. So, stay tuned, and we'll see what ends up happening here on the other side. But for now, it's Cole Camp Police for the Learning and Innovation Podcast. I guess this is the first of the kind, and I'll be talking to you on the other side. It's Sunday, January 23rd, 2005. I am in New Orleans tonight, so here where I am, it's only 9:20. On the East Coast, where I'm really from, it's 10:20, and I guess I'd better get some sleep. So until I talk to you tomorrow, you all take it easy, relax, chill out, go to the EDUCAUSE blog site, and get those podcasts because they're really going to be good. But until then, I will talk to you later. It was a pleasure talking to you tonight. Good night. Take it easy.